Hello, and welcome to Sounding Out with Izzy, the podcast where we have conversations with musicians, music producers, publicists, live promoters, zine makers, journalists, and more about their experiences working in the music industry as women, non-binary, and queer people. I'm your host, Isabel Korp, the founder of the queer femme music-based blog and YouTube channel, A Girl's Two Sound Sense. My guest today is Brittany Luna, the lead singer of Philadelphia-based ska band Catbite. I had a great time chatting with Britt all about her background as a trained jazz singer and the new ska revival that's predominantly made up of femmes and queer people. We also talk about Catbite going on tour with their label mates to celebrate 5 years of Bad Time Records, and the responsibility of DIY music communities to protect one another from harm. And just a fair content warning, we do lightly discuss sexual assault from the 25 to around 31 minute marks, so if you are sensitive to the topic and would rather avoid that portion of the chat, those are the timestamps to skip. And without further ado, let's get right into this episode. So, I guess to start off, would you like to tell me your name, what state you are in, and what time it is?
Sure. Yeah, my name is Brittany Luna. I am the lead vocalist of Catbite. I am in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania right now, and it is 1:03 p.m.
Very nice. I'm just going to start with a question about tour. You recently went on tour with your label mates, Kill Lincoln and We Are the Union. Would you tell me a little bit about the tour and some of the highlights?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So we did two legs of this Bad Time Records tour. Essentially, Mike Sosinski, he's the record label owner, he had this idea for celebration of 5 years of Bad Time Records to put on this tour with us, Catbite, Kill Lincoln, and We Are the Union. We originally, the three of us, did a tour together, I guess about 5 years ago, playing much smaller venues, and it was such a fun time then, but this time around, it was just such a wild time, and like to see the growth of each band was probably one of my most favorite highlights, I think. Everyone was just having such a great time. The bands and the people coming to the shows, it was just like a really cool feeling of excitement and like a really nice, fun energy from the crowd. I think because of this like kind of ska revival that's like been happening, the energies were just like amazing. And in every city, and a lot of the cities sold out too, which was really cool for, you know, ska shows selling out these like big venues. It was really cool. So those are probably some of my highlights, the energy, the crowd, and just seeing like friends and seeing like their growth and how much Bad Time has grown, and all these bands on the label have grown in just these 5 years. It's been really cool to see.
Yeah, I bet. Especially getting to see like the rapid growth that Bad Time Records has had in such a short time, and how like integral that your band has been a part of that. I read, actually, if we could go back a little bit, I read somewhere that you are originally like a jazz trained singer.
Yeah, I am. So I've always like wanted to be a musician, and I've always wanted to be a performer like since I was a little kid. And then I got older and I was like, well, I guess I feel like growing up you feel like, oh, I have to go to school. So I'm like, well, the only thing I'd want to go to school for is music. So I started studying music, and I started at a community state college, and I started studying classical, and it was great to learn as a foundation. I really did not care for the music. I couldn't like gather any sort of like feeling of or emotion that could connect me to that kind of music. But it was great for a foundation. And then I started studying with a teacher, these like half hour lessons in jazz, and I just like fell in love. And so, yeah, I got my bachelor's degree in jazz vocal performance, and I really wanted to be a jazz singer. It's very hard because lots of people don't really like jazz. And also there kinds to be like the clickiness in jazz communities where not only if you're a vocalist, but if you're, you know, a feminine person, it just tends to be harder. No one seems to take you serious for whatever reason they have. Very silly, but
yeah. What was the name of the place where you studied music?
So I studied at the University of the Arts in downtown Philly.
And I bet that the culture, like when you compare it to like where you are now in DIY circles and communities where you're playing like ska punk and stuff like that, I bet like the culture is very different than like going to like music school and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In school, I found it to be super competitive always, and not just between like different music programs in the music department, but like specifically vocalists, because that was like, you know, that was the program that I was studying. It just seemed like no one was able to like cheer someone on because that was their rival. And I just kind of hate that so much. I don't see the need for competition because there's room for everybody, in my opinion. And I see that in the way of how Bad Time works. Like all the bands are so supportive of each other, and not just of Bad Time bands, but like other bands that they like that their friends are in, they're supporting them. And it just makes things so much easier, and it's fun. Like I love seeing my friends succeed. I don't ever want to like put anyone down because they're doing like a similar thing to me. I just think it's silly.
I agree. Not every single thing has to be a competition, right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not.
You're allowed to like have fun for.
Yeah.
And yeah, because. Yeah, and I feel like community is just like important, like in general, when it comes to just producing stuff that matters, you know?
Absolutely. I just feel like if you know someone that enjoys this as a creative outlet, enjoys music or whatever, you know, style of art that they enjoy as an outlet for them, why would you try to stifle that for them? Or just because you're also creating in that community, like, I think it's better to just lift each other up and bring that person with you, or them bring you with them. Just, I'm all about peace.
Absolutely. And you've also been in this band for, oh my God, like since 2018, right?
Yeah.
That feels like yesterday and an eternity ago.
I know, kind of crazy.
So, I mean, after that certain amount of time, do you feel like you ever get to a point where touring and being in a different place every day feels like you're normal, or is there always going to be something weird about like the juxtaposition of being in a different place every day and then just like getting home and having to reacclimate to living your life not on tour?
Yeah, I mean, I think touring is weird because it can become like kind of, it's always a great time, but it can be like weird in that way where you like you go to sleep in one city and then you drive and then you get to the next city and you do the load in, and it's like a different venue, obviously a different city, but it's all kind of the same thing every day. But there's always like something different with each city, and that being the audience. Like everybody's different in every city. I feel like they have like their little quirks and stuff, and it's really cool to get to talk to people and I think that's kind of what separates being from one city to the next and like keeping it interesting. Also, like you get to kind of walk around a little bit if there's time and see what's around and check out the sights. And but it can be like, you know, you're driving in a van for hours at a time, and then the next day you're driving in a van for hours at a time. So there's always good and bad to everything. But I mean, at this point in my life, this is like what I want to be doing. I really enjoy touring and getting to different cities and meeting new people. It's really fun.
Yeah. What have been the most interesting cities in the U.S. that you've been to in terms of what you've observed in the artistic communities there?
Let's see. I feel like the Midwest has always treated us really well, and I feel like there's a really nice sense of community and like safety at those shows, which is really cool to see, because I think that's not always the case in different cities. Like when we were in Detroit, that very much felt like more of like a rougher kind of time. Not that anything happened to us, but just like, I don't know, the difference of people that you see like walking around versus like in like Minneapolis. I just feel like there's a lot of creativity in the Midwest. Sometimes I feel like the Northeastern cities kind of get toughened up because of like rough neighborhoods, and that maybe can like stifle creativity.
Yeah, I definitely get what you're saying for sure. And I mean, not long after COVID was declared like a pandemic in 2020, you guys flew to LA to record an album. Like I'm curious, what was like that experience like when like the ability to socialize was so limited?
It was terrifying. Yeah, that was like the height of the pandemic, kind of. When we flew out there, the planes were still packed, but most people were wearing masks. Some people still were refusing. And so that was kind of a really terrifying experience, being so in close quarters to people on a plane. And then when we got to, we recorded in Long Beach, and nothing was open. So we were just every day, all of us in this tiny Airbnb that was definitely, we were misled about this Airbnb, said that it was a one bedroom. And then we get there, it's just a studio, and they have like a bunch of like pull out beds. So somehow we got finagled into a studio with the five of us, and having to go just walk to the studio every day, and like no one's on the streets, nothing is open around there, and just like walk back to the Airbnb and just do that every day for a couple weeks. It was weird. It was kind of nice because it seemed very peaceful, and it was very peaceful, and we were near the beach, but it was definitely weird and like an eerie feeling.
Yeah, I bet. Probably just like walking like to the studio and then back, like, oh, this is a goddamn ghost town.
Yeah. It would just seem like nobody lived there anymore, and like everything was closed or like just doing takeout stuff. And yeah, very, very weird.
But like the record you got out of it was super killer. Like, how did you feel? How do you feel about like the results in general?
I mean, I'm very happy with how the record came out. I think that the pandemic, although it was extremely terrible and awful for so many people, it did allow for us to be able to have time to create that record. Our first record we recorded probably in about a week. No, not even that, maybe 3 or 4 days. And this record, we were able to take our time, and we had about 2 weeks plus like some pre-production stuff. And this time around, we worked with a producer who was able to help us with like arrangement of songs and stuff. And then afterwards, we just kind of sat on the record until the next year when it was released, which was pretty nerve-wracking because I feel like usually you write a song and then you'll play shows and you might like workshop that song at a show or something and like get the crowd's like feedback. But we weren't able to do that. There were no shows happening at that time. So we just released our record with not anyone hearing it at all. And that was like pretty scary because it's either people are going to love it or people are going to hate it. And, you know, no one's heard it except for us. So it was a relief that people liked it.
Yeah, I bet. When I saw you perform as well at Brooklyn Monarch, I was super delighted to see how supportive and inclusive the community in this new ska revival seems to be. Why do you think ska is having a moment again, and what makes this particular moment really special to you?
I feel like a big reason for this revival is definitely younger people. I think younger people on social media, I think, are like the two maybe biggest influences in this like ska revival. I think that young people are coming into ska music, maybe not even having heard any like older ska music before, and coming into it with fresh eyes and not knowing about, like, you know, the 90s ska was huge and then it just disappeared and it became like a corny thing, you know, like circus music kind of stuff, like Hawaiian shirts and whatever, and then it became like taboo. If you like ska, you're like lame or whatever, or ska is bad. And I feel like a lot of younger people are coming into it not even knowing about that time period and just really like leaning into it. And also there's so many great ska bands now that are making music, and also making music that ska was intended as like more political, or not even always political, but about more important things than just like drinking beer or having a party or whatever. It's sometimes political. People are writing about their, you know, dealing with mental, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Just dealing with like feelings and mental, what's the word I'm looking for? Just dealing with a lot more than just like drinking beer and having fun. I think it's coming back to that style of music. So I think the younger generation is hearing that and taking to that a lot more.
Yeah. That's really interesting to hear. Like you mentioned, like social media and like, I don't know, like maybe members of Gen Z who might not even like be aware of like a lot of those preconceived notions of the genre, or even better, maybe they are very aware of it and they just don't care because they love it.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. That too.
And yeah, I went to see Jeff Rosenstock's secret show at Babies All Right. Like,
oh, wow. How was it?
2 months ago. It was the most fun I have had at a show in recent days, because the more you go to shows, the more it feels like routine, you know, or like it feels like work, and you're just like, I'm tired, my back hurts. This time, like, I was feeling all those feelings and also was having the most liberating time of my life.
Oh, that's awesome.
Someone yelled at some point, play Teenage Dirtbag. And so they tried going into that, and then it just turned into Beverly Hills by Weezer. And then they closed with a Basket Case cover.
Green
Bay's Basket Case.
That was amazing.
Some of the most, like, euphoric periods of reliving my adolescenthood. It was so much fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember seeing Jeff post something about that, like, maybe a week before, and I don't know if it was like a mistake or something. And then when I saw it was announced, I was like, damn, I wanted to go, and it was went really fast. Yeah, I think he's touring with Glady and Small Crush and another band, Sydney. Yeah, they're going to be on tour soon. I'm sad because they'll be coming to Philly when we are going to be in Durango, Colorado, which sucks, but that's okay. I'm sure we'll see them again soon.
Who are you going to be touring with that round?
So coming up, we will be, for that weekend, we're going to be playing, it's just one show in Durango, Colorado, but we'll be there for the weekend. It's at Ska Brewing, which is a really cool brewery, and they do shows pretty often. So we will be playing with Fishbone, which is really cool. And there is a local opener, the Dendrites, who are some good friends of ours. They're based out of Denver, and it'll be really fun. I'm very excited. And then after that is when we start the next tour, which is with the Gaslight Anthem. It's going to be so fun. Some pretty big venues, kind of nervous about, and not sure really what their crowd will think of us. I feel like they'll probably like us. So here's to hoping they do. But yeah, we've got about 12 shows with them, I think, starting in Cleveland and going out west. We'll hit Las Vegas and South Dakota and then end in California. And then after that tour, we will have about a week in between the end of that tour and the start of our tour with the Bouncing Souls, which is a full North American tour. So we'll be hitting all of the U.S. and most of the U.S. and a couple places in Canada, in Western Canada, that we've never been, which are really far away, and I'm excited to go.
Yeah, man. The Bouncing Souls, Fishbone, and Gaslight Anthem. That's pretty major.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's gonna be a long time of just going at it, but it'll for sure be a fun time.
I saw too that you guys covered Against Me for a benefit CD of their songs, and I was wondering if you'd like to tell me a little bit more about Laura and the band in general, how they have influenced Cat Biden, why they're important to you.
Yeah, I mean, so we did this benefit for Trans Lifeline, and everyone on the comp got to cover a song from Against Me, and we chose the song How Low, which is probably one of Tim and I's favorite songs from Against Me. I think we, and me especially, I just think that Laura Jane Grace is very, very strong person. I think it takes a lot, especially as someone who fronts a band and is, you know, known by so many, to be who she truly is. And I think her life has become really beautiful, and so many good things have happened for her because she can be who she is now. And we just love her. She's so cool. She's such a sweet person. When we went to St. Louis, we were playing a show, and she actually hit us up and asked if we needed a place to stay. And she lives in Chicago, but she has a studio in St. Louis, so we got to stay at the studio, and we got to record a couple songs with her, just to a four-track thing. So it was super lo-fi sounding. And she was just so chill and kind and really cool. And so, yeah, I mean, she's a very, very awesome person and someone that I look up to. And I just think she's so brave and just a very, very strong human being. So it was really awesome when our friend Matt asked us to be a part of that. We were definitely ready. We're absolutely, we'll do it.
That's amazing. Yeah, she's great. I'm not the most familiar person with Against Me's discography, but one of my really close friends who is a trans woman who loves punk idolizes her to no end. And so I'm always hearing about Against Me secondhand. And I did read, I have been meaning to read her book forever. I've heard it's incredible.
Yeah. It is great. Yeah, you should definitely read it when you get a chance.
Yeah. And it's also really great to see her thriving, because even if I don't listen much to them, I am very familiar with everything she's been through and the amount of shit that she took for quote unquote selling out. And
yeah.
the amount of like strength it takes to really just like emerge from that. And also then on top of that, you're also like transitioning in the public eye. And
yeah,
she's and
a whole bunch of shit all at once. Yeah, I just if you ever, you know, get the chance to check out Against Me, their music is great. And I think it's just, I think what's so special about Laura and you know, and the music that she wrote in Against Me, it's so raw and it's super powerful. And you can hear there's a lot of lyrics where she mentioned, you know, these feelings that she was having about wanting to be a woman or knowing that she was a woman. And listening back now, it's just like, oh my God, it's really raw and kind of heartbreaking, but beautiful.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask, and I ask all my guests this because I feel like it's an important conversation to have. And it's also a conversation that's way too easy to avoid because it's uncomfortable to face a lot of this, but also like just discussing it in general. Like, how do you feel about like, especially on like the heels of some semi-recent news about a certain political punk frontman who was exposed as not being the best person. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about like the state of the music industry in this current moment in terms of how it's like reckoning or engaging with the conversation around Me Too, and in terms of how it treats like women and femmes and non-binary and queer people?
I mean, I think that the industry has obviously a lot of issues in regards to that stuff still. I think there are some people that are working towards making things better, but not enough people. And there, I mean, music and the industry has been around for so long, and there are still people in high power places that are still taking advantage of musicians, especially women. And it still happens to this day. I think a lot of bands were able to get away with a lot of stuff too in the past, and things are starting to somewhat come to light. Obviously, you know, for this one band, they have disbanded and they're no longer a band. And, you know, that sucks for the rest of the band because obviously it's the one person that made these terrible decisions and did these terrible things, but it affects so many people. So I think there's a long way to still go within the industry and how they treat femme people and POC and non-binary people and queer people. I think there are good people working towards making it a better, more inclusive place. But there needs to be more.
I could not agree more.
Yeah, I think it's still not taken as serious as it should be, you know, and people are still getting hurt physically or emotionally or mentally or, you know, financially. People are still being taken advantage of, unfortunately, and people are still not taking accountability. Like the person who was called out in this political punk band put out a statement saying that they deny any of the allegations. And it's just like, how can you deny it when it's not just one person? There's multiple other people that have come forward and said this, that they had experiences similar. And also the band kind of made a statement where they didn't really say anything, whether in regards to their front person, their singer, saying that they had nothing to do with it or that it was all false allegations. The only thing that they really said was that the reason to break up was necessary, and that was it. Nothing really. They really didn't say anything. and neither did the singer, and denying it. And I just, people need to take accountability when they need to fucking take accountability, and it just needs to happen. And so until people can start doing that, we still have to keep calling people out.
That's yeah. Just, and obviously it's tough too when it's like an industry that's so unregulated where the barrier to entry for like criminals and awful people, like you can be a convicted felon and become a manager of a band. Like,
yep.
It's, yep. Yeah.
It's terrifying. And yeah. And those people get into places of power and then they have power over you. And it can be a really scary thing, especially as a femme person or a queer person, you know, like, holding your like job security over your head will make you do things that you don't want to do because you want your job.
Yeah. I feel like the one bit of like solace that I get is from like the fact that people are talking about it and they haven't stopped talking about it, you know?
For sure. And it will continue, and it should continue. The conversation needs to continue. I think it's great. Social media, or like the privilege of having social media and being able to speak your mind online, I think can definitely be good and also be harmful. I wish that more people could have these conversations in person, because I think when you have a conversation in person, it's, people aren't as, they're not so much keyboard warriors, you know what I mean? Like, they're, especially people who are abusers and stuff, like, try talking to an abuser face-to-face and see how they actually, what they actually say to you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, and that does need to happen more, for sure. Because there's only like so much that you can conceal when you're like in front of
face
a person
face to face.
Yeah,
exactly.
And but yeah, it's all around like I feel like a good thing that the conversation keeps going.
Absolutely.
And I also wanted to ask you about Selena, because I read in an interview that you guys, that Cap I did, that Tim had never heard of Selena until you showed him Selena, and I was like, oh, good on Britt for educating him about Selena, but also how?
Tim had never heard of Selena up until he met me, I guess. I think because he grew up in Lititz, Pennsylvania, and Warren, Pennsylvania, which is like eastern PA, but mostly in Lititz, which is like an hour 45 outside of Philly, like pretty small town. There was like not very many people of color in that town. And I just think it was never, I mean, his parents would have never watched that movie. And I guess his friends probably would have never watched it. And me being Latina, I'm like, I watched that when I was like 5 or 6. The movie, and my dad is Peruvian, and like I grew up like listening to like Spanish music, so I also was like, how could you not have known? But also coming, I am originally from Florida, which there's a big Hispanic community there, and just like I think it just boils down to like your environment. He was in an environment that wouldn't facilitate him knowing anything about Selena, and I came from an environment that many people knew about her, so I don't blame him for it, but I'm glad he knows now.
Yeah. And yeah, what brought you to the decision to do the cover too?
Well, so far on our albums, we've had one cover on each album, and I don't know if that will continue to be a thing. Maybe it will, but we definitely knew we wanted to have a cover, and I kind of just wanted it to be something more personal to me. Like on our first album, we did an Elvis Costello cover, and Tim and I, and we all really, really love Elvis Costello, but Elvis Costello is especially special for him in his songwriting and writing of music. And I feel like Selena is a very special musician for me personally. So I think I just wanted to kind of put my little extra flair in there. And yeah, I'm glad that they all were down to do it.
Yeah. Which Elvis Costello song did you guys cover?
We did Sneaky Feelings.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I also saw you did a Neon Trees cover. How did that selection come about?
So that honestly came up because Tim and I were driving somewhere and the song came on the radio and we were just like listening and like, I feel like everybody and their moms knew that song at one point. And I just remember it being like on the radio all the time. And we were just like listening to it. And Tim was like, this could probably be like a really good ska song. And so when we got home, we were like, let's try it out. And it was fun. And we thought it worked really well. So we just were like, let's do it.
Yeah, it does work really well. And that's what... And it was his idea to be like, hey, what if we
this? We were just driving and I'm like, oh my God, this song. And he's like, this would work well as a ska song.
Nice.
So it became a ska song. And now they're back, they're getting back together, that band. And I feel like we had something to do with it. Not saying we actually did, but I kind of think we did. Their bass player actually, well, we tagged Neon Trees when we released that cover, and their bass player said that he liked it. And so I think ever since then, we got the ball rolling in their heads, and I think they got back together because of us.
Wow. I love how you can claim, like, you can absolutely claim bragging rights now. Like, Neon Trees got back together because of me. I'm calling it.
Yeah, I'm just calling it now.
Yeah. Well, good on Tim for getting that ball rolling.
Yeah. He's got the good ideas. Got a good brain.
And before I let you go, would you like to say where people can find you and the band online and any other shameless plugs you'd like to promote?
Yeah, absolutely. We're on all social medias at Catbite Band. And we also have our website, catbite.net. It's got our online merch site and our tour dates on there. And yeah, I mean, that's all our stuff.
Amazing. Well, Britt, thank you so much for agreeing to come on here and chat.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I had a blast, and I'll definitely be keeping an eye out for when you guys pull through the East Coast again.
Yes, it'll be fun.
All right, have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you so much for listening to Sounding Out with Izzy, and thank you again to Britt from Catbite for joining me today. Remember to subscribe and sign up for the mailing list on my YouTube channel and written blog, both under the name A Girl's Two Sound Sense. Give the podcast a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode of Sounding Out with Izzy. We'll